All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, and we want to welcome those that have joined us via Justin TV. Hopefully we've got some people listening in. We do most weeks and have had a good number listening, and we appreciate that very much. You know, we're sitting here thinking about that song we just sung, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, and thinking about how grace works in the life of individuals. And I'll tell you, grace believers are some of the most gracious and generous people on planet Earth. I have just been amazed at how people rise up and give and help in different situations. This past week, Thursday night, I did not go to Kentucky. I was like the man we're going to talk about today, the carnal man, and took some time off, and Brother Dave Zimmerman was teaching. And so he posted on Facebook that there would be Bible study on Thursday night in Kentucky, but it would not be broadcast. And that's because I've been taking the camera from church here up there to use it for the broadcast. And since we used it here last Sunday night, he didn't have a camera to broadcast the Bible study. And someone saw that on Facebook, and the next morning, when I got up and was reading my emails and so forth, I had a message that they were sending a check to buy a camera for Kentucky so they wouldn't have to miss Bible study on Thursday night anymore. So it just amazes me how generous people are and how gracious people are when it comes to the work of the ministry. And that's exactly how the Lord does the work of the ministry, is through His people. And I very much appreciate that. And that's obviously true here, the faithfulness of the folks here have provided this ministry, and I'm very thankful for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there's something I mentioned, and Brother Obed, as a matter of fact, mentioned it Friday night when he was preaching, and I mentioned it in my message as well. And I want to talk to you about three kinds of people that we find in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1 Corinthians 3. Obed made a statement and just said that a saved person is not carnal. Everybody kind of, a lost person cannot be carnal. And what he's talking about was in the context, because in the context of 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, we're going to see three kind of men. Look there in verse 6. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." And that Spirit is capital S. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So in verse 14 and verse 15, we have two individuals. In verse 14, we've got the natural man, and that natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. As in verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Verse 15, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Verse 16, "that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Now in chapter 3 says, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Now notice he said, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? So, what we have is a depiction there of three individuals. The natural man would obviously be the lost man, the man that's never trusted Christ as a Savior. He does not have the Spirit of God indwelling him. The spiritual man, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. But then in chapter 3, there is the carnal man. He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So you have the lost man, you got the saved man, and you got the saved man that's acting like a lost man. And that's interesting to me because it really dispels a lot of the stuff that goes on in teaching about if a person was saved, they would do this or that, they would do thus and so, or they would believe this and that. In other words, there's sometimes that people want to try to identify people and whether they're saved or not based on things they see in their life. Well, I don't believe there's any value whatsoever in trying to judge or determine whether somebody else is saved or lost. And the reason for that is that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. In other words, if I believe somebody was lost, what would be the best thing to do? Preach the gospel to them. If I don't know whether they're saved or lost, what would be the best thing to do? Preach the gospel to them. Then there's no need for me to try to determine who's saved, who's lost. I don't believe this person's saved because, you see, it is possible for a saved person to be carnal. And it would look as to the world and to you maybe as though they were lost. And when you begin to say, well, if a person does this or that or so forth, if they were saved, they'd do that. Then in effect, you're saying that's what they've got to do to be saved. That's what's implied anyway. Now, I want you to think about some things. Look back up in verse 9. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, today I believe there's a lot of confusion in the world about how God is revealing himself. I personally believe, and we'll look at some verses to cover this, I personally believe that God Almighty reveals himself solely by the Word of God, and individuals know that by the Spirit of God that's in them. That's really what the context is saying. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Verse 10, God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for all, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, there are people today that believe that God speaks to people independently from the Word of God. And really, that is, to me, a very dangerous teaching. Because every false religion in the world today is based upon some revelation that somebody supposedly received outside of the Word of God. Just stop and think about it. Like, I'll just use the example of Mormonism. Joseph Smith, he received some vision from an angel, received some books and so forth, and it's outside of the Word of God. I believe that God Almighty, once the Word of God was completed, no longer spoke to individuals in an audible way, or in other words, only through his Word did God speak to them. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. In the early days of the church, now you remember that in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 1, Christ told the 12 to remain in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem, and they would be endowed with the Holy Spirit. They'd be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said when they opened their mouth, it wouldn't be them that would be speaking, it would be the Spirit that would be speaking. And that was demonstrated even to the extent that they were able to speak in other languages. It's called tongues. That's what tongues were. It wasn't some kind of gibberish. It wasn't some kind of heavenly language. It was languages. The Bible says every man heard him speak in his own language. That was a pouring out of the Spirit of God. When Paul got saved, Paul had all the gifts, as did the apostles. But in 1 Corinthians 12, we get an insight into the importance of those gifts and some things that God wanted us to know. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Well, it's interesting today that concerning spiritual gifts, most people are ignorant. "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now notice, he said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, all of those things other than the healing are things that if you look at, you can see that today those same things are being accomplished by the Word of God that were being accomplished by spiritual gifts. Example, to another faith by the same Spirit. There was the gift of faith. Well, where does faith come from today? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is talking about charity, and notice what he says. By the way, back in chapter 12, verse 10, he said, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits." Well, how would you discern a spirit today? By the Word of God. Now, notice what Paul says about this prophecy over in verse 9. He said, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Hold on here and look back quickly to Acts chapter 26. Why did Paul say that they prophesied in part? Well, I think the answer is in Acts chapter 26, where Paul is given an account of his salvation. And in verse 15, he says, "I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Then Paul didn't receive all the revelation at one time, did he? He got what he got in Acts 9, and then there were other times throughout his ministry that he got further revelations. I believe that's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. He said, "We know in part," go back there, 1 Corinthians 13:9, "we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Now, I personally believe, and I know different people believe differently than this, I believe when that which is perfect is come is the completed Word of God. Notice what he says. "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Well, what did he say was going to be done away? We know in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, when that which is perfect is come, will there be any need for prophecy? No, because it's written down in the Word of God. "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Notice now, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." When is it that Paul would be able to know everything that God wanted him to know? When the revelation was completed. Well, when Paul... when Paul finds himself in prison, he said that he is the apostle, that he's the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He understands that he is in prison for the purpose of writing down some information that God Almighty is going to give him. He said, "We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part," just part of the revelation been given, "but then shall I know even as also I am known." Think about that. "I shall know even as also I am known." In other words, when Paul's revelation was completed, that fulfilled, if you will, Colossians 1, filled up the Word of God. "And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." So what am I saying? All I'm saying, folks, is this. And by the way, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, remember what Paul said back there in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12? Let me read it for you. Don't turn back there. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to" what? "To profit with all." In other words, the manifestation of the Spirit was given through the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment, the gift of faith, and all those things to do the work of the ministry prior to the Word of God being completed. But notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 3, in verse 16. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." What is it whereby we profit today? The Scripture, the Word of God. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now notice this word, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Paul said, "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Well, that which is perfect is the only thing that can make perfect the man of God. You see, folks, it's a very dangerous thing to believe that God is speaking to certain individuals and not speaking to others. Because when a man says, "God told me to do thus and so," he is putting that information on the same level as the Word of God. And in many instances, it might even contradict the Word of God. So we either have a final authority or God is still revealing Himself to men on a continuing basis apart from the Word of God. Now you can believe whatever you want to. I'm going to believe that God is doing it through His Word. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," all these things. Now I went through all of that because I want you to understand back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul says that God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, it's not some kind of indwelling when you get saved that God opens your eyes and all of a sudden you know all things. It's not kind of an indwelling like they had in Acts chapter 2. It's not that kind of thing. You have the Spirit of God indwelling you so that you can now know the things of God, and the lost man does not know that. Now, I know this causes confusion sometimes because a lost person can pick up the Bible and they can read the words, and they can understand perhaps the words. There are people that come to an understanding of rightly dividing the Word and seeing the difference in Paul and the 12. I mean, there's Jewish rabbis that have acknowledged that. You can understand the words on the page, but there's some information that God Almighty has revealed through His Word in a spiritual sense that only those that are saved really see and understand. And even at that, we are always conflicted because we're walking around in a body of flesh. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, I want us to consider these three people. First of all, are these three kinds of people. There's the natural man. Several things are said about this man. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness unto him. Well, number one, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They're foolishness to it. In other words, you see, when a person preaches the gospel of Christ, Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. God Almighty, when a person hears those words and believes those words, supernaturally, when that person trusts Christ as their Savior, supernaturally comes into that individual and His Spirit indwells them. According to Romans chapter 8, every man that's saved has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Thus, we are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, the Bible says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now notice the characteristic of these Gentiles who are lost. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Now that's interesting to me that the first thing that's said about these people that are not saved is their understanding is darkened. When Paul just said over there that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, how's their understanding darkened? Remember what Paul said about the light of the glorious gospel that it should shine unto them? The gospel is spoken of as a light. But the Bible says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. People remain in darkness, folks, because they don't believe. It's not like God wakes somebody up in the middle of the night in this form of a great shining light and reveals Himself to them. God reveals Himself today through His Word, the preached Word. Preach the Word. And we preach the gospel of Christ. It reveals unto people that He died on the cross for their sins, and they can either accept that or reject it. And when they accept it, God supernaturally opens their eyes, if you will, supernaturally baptizes them into the body of Christ by His Spirit, and indwells them by the Holy Spirit, so they know then that they're saved. How do I know that I'm saved? I know I'm saved because of the Word of God, and that alone, nothing else. I don't know I'm saved because of some feeling I had. I mean, you know, I remember there was some feeling involved, but I've had some feelings about some other things. You know, somebody said one time they got just felt warm all over. Well, you can take a hot bath and feel warm all over. You see, there might be some feelings that you have when you get saved, but the feelings are not salvation. Salvation is belief. It's trust. It's accepting the fact that God did something in your behalf, acknowledging that, and believing it. And you know that you're saved on the basis of God's Word, because God's Word said the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. And so if you have believed, trusted, that is, in the gospel of Christ, then you're saved. If you haven't, then you're not, and you're still in darkness. The understanding is darkened. According to what we read in 1 Corinthians 2:14, they can't receive the things of God. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead. Well, there then we see it again, the natural man. Where is the natural man? What's his state? He's dead in trespasses and sins. And that causes him, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Notice the spirit, little s, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this natural man, his understanding is darkened. He can't receive the things of God. He's a child of wrath. He's at enmity with God, according to Romans chapter 8. He can't please God. His heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? The man is lost, undone, without God. And there's only one hope for mankind that is in that state, and it's the truth of God's Word. Now, notice the contrast of that back over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 5. Verse 8. Paul said, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." You see, that lost man, their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. All of those things will match up with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." There's the blindness of their heart, and it's all based on belief or unbelief. So when a person is saved, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now there's that key part of the verse. You see, that's what Paul was confronted with back at Corinth. He had a group of people over there that were saved. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all them in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." So we're talking about saved people. But what Paul is pointing out in 1 Corinthians 2 again is, yes, there are those that are saved, there are those that are lost, but there are also those that are saved that are living and acting like they're lost. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by their carnal flesh. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Well, who's spiritual? Those that are saved. "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." There were some things that Paul couldn't convey to the church at Corinth. If you look back in chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Well, that testimony, he said, was confirmed in them. We just read that in chapter 1. Verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." All that Paul had proclaimed to them at Corinth was the gospel, because they were so carnal that they couldn't progress beyond that. That tells us also that that's all that was required for their salvation: Christ and Him crucified, because these people were saved. But when you get over to chapter 3, he says, "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," or as unto saved, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat." You know that a baby, a newborn baby, they require milk. You can't, I mean, come on, you can't take a little baby that's nursing her mom or drinking from a bottle and all of a sudden cut up some steak and give it to them. Or, I mean, you know, they can't handle it. They have milk. Well, Paul is using the same illustration here in relation to spirituality. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hold on here and look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is talking about the last days and latter times. And he says in chapter 4 verse 1, the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, I wish we had a cough button up here where we could just, it's going to sound terrible. I know it sounds terrible over the speaker. The Spirit expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I believe these are saved people. Say, why? Well, they're departing from the faith. They must have been in the faith. I know they're not losing their salvation because they're sealed in the day of redemption. But he says they're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them, which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now notice, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice the next word. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You know where you get your spiritual nourishment from, folks? Words. The word of God. This book is like meat. It is the sustenance. It's what you need in order to survive as a child of God. It's what you need to grow as a child of God. And a person, when they get saved, if they don't ever read and study and be taught the Word of God, they never grow. And that's exactly what Paul was saying about the Corinthians. He said, you're not like spiritual people. You're yet carnal. That's probably the problem in most of the religious system today, where people don't, they're not taught the Word of God. So many churches today, they go to church and entertain. They have a band and they have all this stuff. And yeah, they might, and some of them teach the Word, but most of them do not. And thus people are not being fed. And they end up spiritual weaklings. They end up spiritually malnourished. They don't have the nourishment of the Word of God, the instruction. And you know what happens to somebody that doesn't have enough nourishment and is weak? They're susceptible to disease. The disease of false doctrine. I mean, come on. You take a person that believes this book, rightly divided, is saved, and you're not going to talk that person into trying to speak in tongues, trying to get involved in the healing mess that's going on, and all this other stuff. You know why? Because they've got some doctrine that has sustained them and taught them what is right and wrong. They're able to discern both good and evil by the Word of God. When you hear something come on the radio, I believe most of you out there that are listening to me right now, when you listen for a few minutes, you know if it's right or wrong. You know how you know that? Not because of what I've said about it, because you got a book. You've got the Word of God. Somebody comes along and says, well, you've got to work for your salvation. You know that's not true. How do you know that? Because you got the book. Somebody says people can lose their salvation. How do you know that's wrong? Because they're sealed in the day of redemption. The Word of God is nourishment. And if you don't have the nourishment, you're going to be weak in the faith. That's why you need the nourishment. That's why you need to be fed continually. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk. Well then, the gospel, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That must be the milk. And it is. You know why it's called that? Because that's the only thing a lost person really needs to know. Come on, folks. People all the time getting into arguments with the atheist and with people that deny the truth of the Word of God, and we argue about it all. That's meaningless. What that person needs to know is the gospel. The only thing that's going to quicken a lost individual is the truth of the gospel. So when you're discussing things with people and they're not saved, I realize that you don't just cut the conversation off, but always turn the conversation back to the truth of the gospel. Listen, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He became a sacrifice for you. He died for your sins. He was proven to be the Son of God. He was buried. He raised again the third day. He was raised again for our justification. That's what people need to know initially. That's the milk. That's what a babe needs. But then when a person is saved, they need to progress beyond that. And then they can understand about justification and reconciliation and all the things that are involved in our salvation, being accepted in the beloved. But it starts with salvation. And Paul said there in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. And see, he's writing this after some time after he had been there at Corinth, and he said, neither yet now are you able. He had heard what was going on back at Corinth, and these people were just the most carnal people you could imagine. Just read the chapter, read the book. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So Paul said, you don't need to be choosing up sides. Don't need to follow this one, follow that one. And we're bad about doing that. I mean, after all, remember, this is the same book that Paul said, be ye followers of me. But he's talking about following the doctrine that given him through Jesus Christ. Not following the individual like him or Apollos. And notice what he says in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You see, folks, it's real easy to lose focus of what's really important when we begin to follow individuals and not the Word of God. It's easy to lose focus on the important of what's really important whenever we divide and have divisions. What's important is not the individuals. He said, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're nothing. What is important is the Word of God being planted and watering so God gives the increase. Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning of these three people is, which one are you? Are you still the natural man that never has trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And maybe you've just kind of been living a lie before everybody and thinking everything's all right, but when you hear a gospel message preached, you know there never was a time when you really trusted Christ as your Savior. Well, if there wasn't, then you're yet natural. And so, for you this morning, I would say, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. And the Bible says that He died for our sins. That's all of them, folks. So when did you trust Him? If you've trusted Him, then you're a spiritual being. That is, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. But then the question that comes about for all of us that are saved is, are we yet carnal and walking as men? Are we walking according to the instruction of the Word of God given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul? Not my job to answer the question for you. It's our job individually to evaluate where we are in this equation. Because no matter where we are, we can progress. If we're lost, If you're lost, you can be saved. If you're saved, you can continue to grow in nourishment and be nourished by the Word of God. And if you're saved, but yet carnal, then you simply need to follow the instruction of God's Word and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, take in the nourishment that you need to grow in grace and grow in the Lord. Which one are you? I hope that everybody here this morning is saved, but if you're not, above everything else, that's the most important. Be sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you're lost this morning, right now, as we go to the Lord in prayer, just receive Him. You don't have to pray a prayer. You don't have to go down the front. You don't have to say anything, jump up, do anything. Just trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. You listened over the internet, never been saved, trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. And then you'll have the Spirit of God indwelling you, and then you can begin to progress in the Word of God and in the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.